Amen. Certainly it's a blessing to be in the assembly again this morning where we seek to worship God in spirit and in truth. Yes. As been forestated, Brother Amanzo Jones is at the Pleasant Hill congregation this morning. He's conducting the meeting there today through Wednesday. So let us keep him in mind in our prayers. Appreciate the way Brother Gervais has led us in our singing this morning. He's done a wonderful job, and other brothers as well. We have with us, Spinford State, Brother James Dennis, who is certainly not a stranger to any of us. Brother Dennis has been around for some years, and we all know that he's a formative minister of the 15th Avenue Church of Christ, and now he is serving there at the Trinity Lane Church of Christ. It was real interesting when I called Brother Dennis and asked him if he was still engaged in speaking. He said, whenever somebody asks me. So I said, well, okay. I said, Brother Dennis, I'm asking. He cordially said he would be glad to do it. So without taking up any more of his time, we're going to present to you, introduce to others who may not know, Brother James Dennis from the Trinity Lane Church of Christ. We'll ask Brother Gervais to give us a verse of a song, then Brother James Dennis.
We'll sing page 15. We'll sing the first and last verse of page 15. When we reach the city of the New Jerusalem, we gon' sing hallelujah, by and by. How the rest of singers will together lift their hands. We gon' sing hallelujah, hallelujah, by and by. Well, oh what joy when we get home. We gonna rest beneath that cloudless dome. Well, in that land where saints should never die. We gonna sing hallelujah, hallelujah, by and by. The victory and love will be our everlasting theme. We gon' sing hallelujah, by and by. For raising our Redeemer there beside the crystal stream. We gon' sing hallelujah, hallelujah, by and by. Well, oh what joy when we get home. We gon' rest beneath that cloudless dome. Dwell in that land where saints should never die. We gonna sing hallelujah, by and by. Lord, when we get home, we rest in that cloudless dome.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy to be here this morning and to look out into some faces that I've seen in the past and try to for a little while before I enter my lesson to talk about this congregation, this church. I remember when this was South Hill, right next door. And I remember the ministers you've had, and I've had a long relationship with this congregation. I've held a meeting here before, and I remember, I don't know how many of y'all remember Brother Folsom.
Yes, sir.
He started the radio program that they have, and when he gave it up, it passed to me for a few years. And another one of y'all's ministers here that's passed on, Willie Brown, I know a lot of you remember him. He baptized me in Germany some years ago, and me and him were in the Army for several years, stationed in a number of places in Germany, Berlin, Nuremberg, and went through a lot of experiences. And I remember that each Lord's Day, he and I would get together and commune with one another. And that 2 years is something that I treasure because it helped me to know about the church and to really be faithful to it. And this congregation I've seen grow. I remember before you had this building and all of the other things, and I wanted to acquaint you with that. We want to talk to you this morning about what is God in your life. From that psalm that was read. The last time we were invited here, we talked about God's works from the 46th psalm, where it says, God is my refuge and strength, very present help in time of trouble. Therefore will not you fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, and when it gets down to the end of it. He talks about what God has done. He said, God maketh wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder, he burneth the chariot in the fire. He said, be still and know that I am God. This psalm, another psalm of David, is a psalm that talks about God in your life individually. You know, people talk a lot about the works of God, especially when we look around and see what has been happening in the last few years in this part of the country. Floods and storms, and we see God's power. Amen. But this psalm talks about God in a way that we need to look at, I think, sometime, and we don't. David in this psalm talked about what God meant to him. And he says it in those passages we'll get to in a minute. He said, but today men try to recognize God as a being that can be known by experiment sometime in a laboratory. This is why we see so many things talked about sometime. If you look at television, they'll talk about the Big Bang Theory. And another theory that I heard about, the steady state theory. But God is a being that we cannot know fully and completely. You know, this is what was raised with Job in the 10th and 11th chapter. You know, Job asked the question, can a man by searching find out God? Can't find him out to perfection. He said this, we can't limit him. We can't really know him because God is beyond us in knowing it. He's higher than heaven, deeper than hell, so far said to Job. And they want to know so they can control God. This is why these people in laboratories try to find out God's nature so they can do things that make God act the way they want to. This is what you learn if you go in science in school. You find out they'll put you through a number of experiences to let you see the results that have come, and invariably they come that way because of that. But God is not like that. We cannot know God. We cannot control God. The New Testament talks about it in the first chapter of Corinthians when he says, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And then he said, the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. He talks about it in the Old Testament when he says the way the best understanding man could have of God is in Psalms 19:1 when he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, firmament showeth his handiwork. Amen. We need to realize that God is a being that we are not able to know about because God inhabits eternity. And I want to read to you a scripture because I found out that a lot of us that are familiar with this, but found in Isaiah 57, if you just turn back there with me for a moment, because this is God's dwelling place. He says in Isaiah 57, if we will drop down to about verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to relieve the heart of the contrite. What God is talking about is that he does not live in time like we live in time. We talk about the heavens. If you read over in 2 Corinthians 12, it talks about a third heaven. That's where God is. He's outside of his creation. The heavens we talk about are the heavens that are our atmosphere that is captured by the gravity of the earth. And it causes the storms and the weather we have. The other heavens that we talk about, the second heaven, is where the stars and the sun is. And that's all we see. But God is in a place beyond that, and we cannot find him out. We just can't find him out. It's like an illustration I once used. You may have heard it used. I don't know, but it's an illustration where you may go down on the seashore and build a sandcastle. And while you're gone, wind or storm, somebody may come along and destroy the sandcastle, but it does not bother you. You're not affected by it. God created us, but God is outside us. He's in that third heaven that he talks about, and he cannot be touched. So David says this as we look at this psalm for a little while, and I've never been a long-winded preacher, and so don't expect me to be here a long time. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. In those verses, David says something about God that we don't live with. We need to recognize that when we look at verses 1 through 5. What does he say? Don't forget all of his benefits, all the things that God does for us. We would not be sitting here like this if it wasn't for the water that we drink. It wasn't for the air that we breathe that keeps our bodies activated, or the food that we eat that renews our bodies. All of these are God's benefits. He placed them in the world for us. And so when David says, bless the Lord, he's telling us that we should recognize God. That's one thing that mankind doesn't want to do. I've been around a long time, I guess. I'm in my 80s. I guess you figured out by now. But I realize that there are just a lot of things that I have benefited from and do benefit from, because if I didn't have them, I wouldn't be able to live like I live. And so he tells us that in David, you know, we take these for granted. You know, James says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, whom is no variable, is neither shadow cast by turning. When he says all his benefits, then he begins to list them. He forgives our iniquities. That's when we do wrong, God forgives. We have to look to him for that. He allows us to start over, not like us. If somebody does us wrong, we almost always will never forget it. It's going to always stand between us and them. God forgives our iniquities. He'll say a little bit more about that further down. He heals all our diseases. You remember he told the children of Israel when they went into the land of Canaan, he said, none of these diseases will bother you. And he told them a number of things in the law that they needed to do in order to get away from the diseases that affected mankind. That's one reason why Jews have what they call kosher foods that have been treated or tested or changed in order that they might eat them and not worry about the sickness and diseases that come. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Satisfy your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. In other words, God makes us over and over and over and over again. And the Lord executeth the righteousness and justice of all who are oppressed. That means that all real judgment, all real doing and making things right will only come when God calls men to judgment. People get away with a lot of things in the world. I know y'all may be thinking about what happened down in Florida a couple of months ago. But God will make everything right when his judgment takes place. He'll do that. He made known his ways unto Moses. You must remember that the Bible is an unfolding revelation of who God is. Man didn't know how God is, like this psalm describes here. When he put him in the world, he simply said, Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Tend the garden and keep it. You can eat of every plant or every herb. Don't eat of that tree that's in the midst of the garden, the knowledge of good and evil. God's rules began to multiply and men began to learn what God is. Moses, though we know about God from Hebrews 11, that God's always been, his relationship with him should always be a faith-based relationship. But they didn't know and understand that. And the first individual who really understood about faith in God expressed was Abraham. Remember Abraham, God promised him that I'll bless you and make you a great nation. And he finally said, in you all nations of the earth shall be blessed. And in the 15th chapter, after Abraham had gotten to the land of Canaan, not knowing where he was going when he got there, but and the Lord spoke to him again. He said, well, Lord, how will all this happen to me? He says, I don't even have an heir. The heir in my house will be a man that is my servant. And God said, no. He said, of your own body. And Abraham was an old man. Your old man, own body, you'll have a son. And Abraham's wife was old too. We know how that takes place. She was too old, but the Lord said, will be, and the Bible says in the 6th verse of the 15th chapter of Genesis, Abraham believed God, and God counted it for righteousness. That's the faith-based way that we have. We believe in God not because we see and know, but because God says that. In fact, we don't really understand all of God's nature until Jesus came into the world. Jesus is the one who lets us know that God is love. He lets us know that God is love by what God does for us. He does it for us because, as this rest of this says, we get down to verse 11, says, for the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his child, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. So man is dead. In other words, we are frail, and God knows we are frail, and God realizes that. And so as the passage above says, that God will not always chide. He doesn't keep his anger forever. He doesn't hold anything the way we do. When we say we've sinned, that great sin of David, that David had to pay for the rest of his life. When God told him what he had done, he said, you caused all these nations around to blaspheme my name. Man. David said, I have sinned. Yes. And the Lord said, you're forgiven. Yes. But he had to pay for it. You had to pay for what you do. That son that he conceived with Bathsheba died. And then in his own family, arose a son who ravished his half-sister, and her full brother killed him. And that same son who David longed for, sinned for, and he came back, he stole David's throne. He stole David's throne by standing outside of the palace when men came to plead their cause before David to get justice. He said, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man that had suit a case would come to me, and I would do him justice. And the Bible says Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. He did that. And we need to understand that God finally says, and I'm going to get through here, I've never been long-winded. He said, man's days are as grass, the flower of the field, so he flourishes. In other words, we know that grass grows in the spring. And if it's hot in the summer, it'll get brown. In the fall, it'll be gone. The wind passeth over it, it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But he says here, and this is the part I want us to remember, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. To those who fear him and those that remember his commandments to do them. In other words, we've got to obey God in order for us to receive the blessings of God. When he commands, he wants us to respond and obey. And this is one thing that is hard for mankind, for me and you, all of us. We don't like anybody telling us what to do. We just don't. I'm my boss, and I'm going to do what I want to do. But the minute we get in trouble, you looked at that old illustration of the guy that was an atheist on the roof. You heard that one, haven't you? He passing up the roof. He didn't believe in God. He began to slip, and he had been cursing God all the time, and he about to go down. He said, oh, God, and he caught something. He said, that's all right, God. It's all right now. It's not like that. We've got to realize that God sustains us in every way.
Amen.
The ability for me to leave here if I can and walk out that door, that's a blessing from God.
Amen.
I've seen a lot of folks my age that can't hardly walk and get around.
Amen.
But so far I've been able to do that because God has given me health. And so he tells us to do this, and then I'll extend an invitation. He said, go down to verse 20, because everything in God's creation blesses God except man like he should. He says, bless the Lord, you his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All creation blesses God. They glorify him. But man doesn't want to. I was listening to television the other day about somebody trying to claim that God is ego. Why we got to glorify him? Because he made the world. Everything here is an expression of God's power. And we look at it and we know that unless somebody made it. Have you ever gone out in the woods and went and picked up a watch? Nobody made it. Can't do it, can you? Anything that intricate has to be made by somebody else. And so when they were trying to argue evolution, finally those creationists came along and said, well, God must be there because there is an intelligent design. You've heard that argument. In everything that we see, and it doesn't happen. You can go out and lay down a dime, and I guarantee you, you can leave it there 90 years, and it'll never become a dollar. It's going to always be a dime, isn't it? It's the same way with everything. God had to be in it because there's intelligence. So if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I'm going to invite you to become a member of God's family. How do you do that? You have to hear the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 tells us the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We don't have to quote all of that. Y'all heard it before. Christ died and was buried and rose again. And because he did, that is a promise to us that we can be saved. You must hear that gospel, believe the same, repent of your sins, that is to make up your mind that you're going to change your life to be what God wants it to be. Live for him in your life. And as Brother Keeble used to say years ago, we sometimes give him the five commandments. He says, there's another commandment, be faithful unto death. And that's what we've got to learn to do. And after having heard and believed, repented of your sins, confess Christ, and be buried in water baptism. And the Lord will add you to that church that we read about in the Bible. There's only one. Though I know some of my brethren are getting afraid to do that now. But the Bible's still true. The Bible says, let God be true in Romans 2. And every man a liar. So if you're here this morning, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.
Then free 'tis for you and me. Let us praise, obey to the breeze. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? From the throne of life now it flows. Oh, while the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call, therefore freely go. Oh, will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you. Thirsty soul, oh, hey.
soul is left, there may not his pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and his streams I see. Let us haste and joyfully there. Oh, will you come to the fountain free?
We have one standing in the rear. Brother, you might make your statement. All right, brother. And your name was?
William.
Mitchell. Okay, thank you, Brother Mitchell. Brother Gene Davis.
Yes.
Let us humbly bow. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it is again that we humbly approach your throne, thanking thee for this day and the assembling of ourselves here together, dear God, in order to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, dear God, up until this point that all we have said and done has been well pleasing and acceptable unto thee. We're thankful, dear God, for message that has been delivered unto us by your humble servant. Yes. We're thankful, dear God, and we hope and pray that it has touched all of our hearts. And we have one brother, dear God, who it has touched to the extent that he has acknowledged, dear God, that he has sinned. We ask you to be with Brother Mitchell, dear God. Bless him in ways, dear God, beyond our understanding. Forgive him, dear God, of his sins. Help him, dear God, to always strive to be courageous and walk in your truths. We also, dear God, pray for Sister Rosalind Davis. We know, dear God, that you are the sustainer of life. We pray, dear God, as she prepares to undergo this series of tests, that things will really go well with her, dear God. We pray that you will be with those that are conducting these tests, and we pray, dear God, that you will, that all will work well for her. Be with her husband, dear God, Brother Davis. Give him strength and courage. We pray, dear God, that you will forgive them of any of their sins they might have committed. And we pray, dear God, that you will just be with her and bless her, dear God, according to your holy and divine will. Yes. These blessings we do ask in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen.
Restore my spirit, Lord, I need restore. In my heart is weary, and please help me, dear Lord. Oh, and I stand in need of more strength from your